Thank you, Assumpta Oturu. We love you. You're listening to KPFK 90.7 FM, Los Angeles.
You're listening to KPFK 90.7 FM, Los Angeles. The time now is 1 p.m.
From the icy cold curves of Angeles Crest to the sunny shores of PCH and around the world on kpfk.org, this is The Car Show, broadcasting every Saturday from 1 to 2 p.m. here on KPFK 90.7 FM Los Angeles for over 52 years. I am your humble host, Mark Vaughn of AutoWeek.com. All I ask is you go to AutoWeek, click on all my stories about 14 times each and put nice comments. I am joined this week and every week by the greatest co-host in the world, a practicing attorney specializing in automotive law, our Orange County Bureau Chief, Motor Press Guild member, and the owner of two Mazdas, Michelle Spencer. Welcome, Michelle.
Mark, good to be here again with you on KPFK and talking about cars until we are blue in the face for almost an hour.
That is blue, one of the racing colors of America. Very well chosen, Michelle. Michelle and I are joined by, I guess he's our co-host now. Just with all the rights and responsibilities that come with that, a man who's, we always say his resume is too long. I mean, Edmunds, Kelley Blue Book, various executive positions, founder, one of the founders of Super Street Magazine way back in the Pleistocene epoch, and now senior analyst at iccars.com, our buddy Carl the Power Brower. Carl, welcome.
All the rights, responsibilities, and pay that comes with this job. Yeah. Don't forget, guys, okay. Right? All that big money we're getting.
Yeah. So we'll send you a business card right away.
We'll have our people publish some business cards.
Excellent. Well, great to be on with you guys, as always.
For invitation to be an official.
Michelle, I can barely hear you. What do you do? I can barely hear you. Yeah. Speak up. Michelle has a lot to say and is not afraid to say it. So,
yeah, as they would say in the 80s rap song, pump up the volume.
Okay.
Okay. We're going to dive right into the calendar section because we have so many things to say. Carl, take us down to the OC.
The OC, where all the great car shows happen. Okay. Well, there's some good ones in LA County too, and even Ventura County. But this, starting on July 1st, so it just started this week, we get to see the exhibit at the Lion Air Museum, and that's L-Y-O-N, because we're going to talk about another Lion Museum soon. But right now we're talking about L-Y-O-N Air Museum. It's right next to the Orange County Airport. I use it all the time. It's a great airport. And through September 1st, you can see the tiniest gear of automotive history this summer. Explore the world of compact charm and quirky design as Lion Air Museum presents the Microcar Exhibit, a showcase of compact innovation, exploring stylish, unique, and iconic cars from around the globe.
Which what cars do you think those are? That's like the Isetta, the Messerschmitt. There's a lot of cool little micro cars. I wonder if they have the A-class cars.
I was just going to say, those are from, you know, Europe, and then there's the Japanese ones, right? And I'm not going to remember the name, Mark. You probably do. Is it Kia or Kiko or something?
A-Class, K-E-I, pronounced K.
K, like, okay.
Because K means like little in
Japanese. Is that what
Japanese.
It means?
Yes. Yeah. When you say keiki, that means little kids.
I didn't know that.
So there you
well,
go.
Well, you can see all of them there at the Lion Air Museum. It just started on July 1st, so it goes till September 1st. And besides that, as we've said before about this museum, you also get historic aircraft, World War II memorabilia. Mm-hmm. It's a cool place to go to, even when they aren't having a microcar compact display. And so, but now they're having that too. So there's just more reason to head down there. So it's down at 19,300 Ike Jones Road, Santa Ana, California, right next to the airport. General admission is $14. Veterans and seniors are only 11, and children are only $7, unless they're under 5, because then they're free.
Mm-hmm. And it's nice. It's at the north end of the tarmac. A little kind of hard to, you know, find it, but it's at the end of the road. So the advice is, if you're going to go down there on Ike Jones Road, just keep going till it dead ends. And then there's the museum and you're like, hallelujah, I made it. And
hallelujah.
Parking is free. So that's another bonus.
Okay. Are we still down in, no, we're up in LA for Michelle's item here. Tell us, take us to LA, Michelle.
We're back in downtown LA for Sevens Day, which those of you who are into the Mazda culture would know that that's the day you celebrate your RX-7. So usually it's on July 7th, not this year.
7-7, I get it, see?
Yeah, that's when we do Sevens Day, even though I don't have an RX-7. But when I lived in San Diego, there was no RX-8 club, so I crashed the RX-7s guys meets. All the time. And so I know a lot about RX-7s. It seemed to me like there were more of those guys around than there were RX-8 people. So that's where I hung out. Here you go. The address is... I got it. You got
611 it? 611 Anderson Street, Los Angeles, 90023.
Right.
And what time is that? Is that all day?
It is. It's all day. And they do like a barbecue and everything. It's a great hangout. It's at the Vintage Japanese Motor Union headquarters. So there's lots of memorabilia to check out. Everyone will show up with mods and all kinds of things. There's merch for sale there too. So 611 Anderson Street.
Is there a stock RX-7 left anywhere in the world?
They're hard to find. Yes, I see them at Seven Stock. I do. They're around.
Okay. Is there any chance, as a Mazda enthusiast, do you think there will be another RX-7 ever?
No. They're going to have to come out with the next thing, which will be an RX-9.
Ah!
Mazda doesn't do it that way. It's forward.
They had that beautiful concept car, 10 years ago at the Tokyo Motor Show. If you remember that, and they should just put that into production. That'll change the world.
Yeah. Everyone loved that thing. You're right, Mark. I just remembered that thing. It would be cool.
The iconic, I believe it was. And so they are supposedly working on a new rotary engine hybrid RX-9. There's more and more rumors. You just keep hearing rumors. Right. So there you go.
Cling to those rumors. Yeah. Okay. And what else, Michelle? You got another item for us.
Well, down here in OC on July 6th, tomorrow at 7:30 to 9:30, we have Cars and Coffees again at Segerstrom Shelby Event Center on 5 Watney down here in the OC right off of Sand Canyon off the 5 freeway. And any make or model is welcome. They do not want you to just worry that if you don't have a Mustang or a Cobra, that you wouldn't be welcome. Any cars are welcome. I've even brought my Mazdas. So there you go. Sunday, July 6th, 7:30 to 9:30.
I can show up in my Dodge Demon and they won't kick me out. They won't say, hey, that car's got too much horsepower. Get out of here.
It has too much torque.
Yes.
No.
That's tomorrow, Sunday, July 6th, 7:30 a.m. to 9:30 a.m., just to clarify. And I see that they're free duck donuts. What's a duck donut?
Oh, that's the shop down in Newport Beach. So who lives down here knows about that place. They have great donuts.
Great donuts. All right. What more could you ask for? Okay, here's a motorcycle deal coming up. It's called the Moto Social Los Angeles. This is just, these are all over the country, maybe even around the world. It's just groups of motorcycle enthusiasts who get together. I went to one a month ago in Los Angeles. It was not at the bike shed. It was at another spot called Le Papillon. And I met a lot of really fun people. Everybody is glad to see you. Everybody wants to talk motorcycles. And this one is going to be held on Thursday, July 10th, from 7 to 9 p.m. at 427 Lincoln Boulevard in Venice, California. It says right here, everyone's welcome. Everyone's invited, bike or no bike, good vibes only. So, I can vouch for it. Everybody I met, they were nice people and they had a lot to say. You could talk to anybody about a motorcycle. So check that one out. That is, of course, Thursday night, July 10th, 7 to 9 p.m., 427 Lincoln Boulevard, Venice, California, the Moto Social. Okay. One other thing. This one sounds really neat. I don't know. It's got a neat name, and it just sounds like something cool. It's the 46th annual East Side Story Car Show and Music Fiesta. That is on July 12th, 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. at the Fairplex in Pomona. Family fun. It says all ages welcome. Kids under 10 are free. Kids over 10, it looks like you pay either $35 or $40. So it is a commitment. It is a financial commitment to get in, but it sounds like it'd be worth it. Now, they say the East Side Story Music Series originally was designed by a guy named Anthony Bousalis in 1979 for the low-riding community. And it has sort of evolved now and has R&B classic doo-wop songs and ballads. Those most loved songs about, this is what they say, deep love, heartbreak, agony, and ecstasy. So much, it's so much like KPFK here. And that, excuse me, I'm battling a cold. I told my co-host that I may expire before the end of the recording. And if I do, you'll know, but they will, you'll be in good hands when they take over. Anyway, 46th annual East Side Story, July 12th. It sounds like, a fun deal. Carl, take us back to the days of your early career at Super Street with this next event.
Sure. Same day, July 12th. If you can't make it to the East Side Story, you could go to the JDM, which stands for Japanese Domestic Market, versus Euro Car Show. So, you know, nothing like trying to pit two major regions of the globe against each other by based on car love, but that's what it is. JDM versus Euro Car Show, July 12th from 2 to 7 p.m. at 1000 East 60th Street in Los Angeles. And it's, you know, a big gathering of two cultures of automobile fans. And it does take me back to my Super Street days, as you say, Mark, because you can end up with a lot of vintage meaning probably like 90s, classic cars, 80s, 90s, maybe early 2000s, quote unquote, classic Japanese and European cars. And there used to be a lot of magazines dedicated to these things, you know, Eurosport and Sport Compact Car and Super Street. But now you got to go to websites or go to shows like this if you want to see a theme that's like that. And it's $20 for tickets. And you can find out more information at JDMVSEURO or JDMVersusEuro.com / tickets.
$20. That's, I don't know, could be fun.
Yeah.
1000 East 60th Street. That's down south, South Los Angeles.
Yep.
Interesting location. Up in the far north, Michelle, what's going on up there?
Well, you want to take a road trip sometime this summer, right? What better place than Santa Barbara? There's a car show up there on the weekend of July 12th. So Saturday, July 12th, if you can get there by 9 and hang out till 2 o'clock and go to the Mission, there's a car show going on there, which would be fantastic. I can't think of a better place to take photos of some really cool cars. I mean, the Mission is gorgeous. So well preserved. So that's Santa Barbara, July 12th, 9 to 2 on the big lawn in front of the Mission, Santa Barbara.
Yeah. And it sounds like it's free. It's just
sounds like it's free. Yeah.
And Mission Motor Show.
Probably a lot of really cool vintage American cars, I would think.
Yeah. Well, doesn't say. Right. Nope. But, you know, California, the first road was El Camino Real. So, and that connected the Missions. So it's definitely car related. Makes sense. And at such a lovely location, you know, that lawn, that you got the steps of the Mission and across the street, there's this huge lawn. And on sunny days, everybody hangs out there. Now you can hang out there with your favorite car. Speaking of your favorite car, Carl, what do we have where is that?
In Rancho Dominguez.
West Rancho Dominguez, California. You've got the kit. The Roar of Lions car show. And this time it's LIONS. So not like the Lion Air Museum with the Y. This is the Lions like, you know.
Like Lions Drag Strip.
Right, right. Or, you know, like Kings, Lion Kings and, you know, Mean Brothers and all that kind of stuff from the movie. But anyways, Lions Car Show, Roar of Lions Car Show, the 12th of July again. So another option for that weekend if you're looking for something to do. It's at the Lions Automobilia Foundation, 2790 East Del Amo Boulevard in West Rancho Dominguez, California. And it's $35 to get you in. You do get a swag bag. You get museum entry. And plus Iskey's 104th birthday. This is
can you believe that?
Iskenderian, right, Alex? Yes. Right, Alex, yeah, Iskenderian.
Ed,
sorry.
Yes.
Ed Iskenderian is 104. I wrote a story when he turned 100, and I thought that would be it, but no.
Oh, boy.
He's tough, man.
We need to find out what motor oil he's drinking.
I was going to say.
I've seen what he eats. He eats like Pink's hot dogs with chili and onions, and he smokes cigars. So all you people doing sit-ups and eating broccoli, go down and meet Ed Iskenderian and get some diet tips from him, some longevity tips. He's a great guy.
Maybe the secret of life, believe it or not, is doing what you want. Maybe that's what makes you live long. It's
right.
Doing what you want.
He still goes into the shop.
Yeah, he's
crazy.
He does.
There's a documentary.
He's not home sitting, knitting. He's in the shop.
There's a documentary that's just out. I don't know if it's been released yet. I've seen it, and it's on Ed Iskenderian. I keep waiting for to hear something about how they're going to release it so people can see it, and then I'll write about it, and we can talk about it here. But it's just a whole bunch of – they just follow Ed around, and Ed either says, well, I'll be darned, or he says, isn't that something? You know, he's just happy to be doing whatever he's doing. So go and say hi to Ed on his 104th birthday. Amazing guy. Amazing.
This is all at the Lions Car Show again at Automobilia, Lions Automobilia Foundation, 2790 East Del Amo Boulevard in West Rancho Dominguez, California. If you want to see a centenarian, is I believe the name that you can call people who make it to 100 plus, it's very impressive.
All right.
And again, if you still aren't satisfied with how many lion references there's been, on the 19th of July, a week later, back to the LYONS, Lions Air Museum, on July 19th, there's the Sea of Hot Rods show. A celebration of style, nostalgia, and heritage happens on that July 19th at the Lion Air Museum, LYON, with Hot Rods on the tarmac. So we were talking about how this museum is right next to Orange County Airport, and they're actually going to leverage that fact and have all that cement and open space to put a bunch of cool, nostalgic, vintage hot rods out there. So that's what you like. July 19th at the Orange County Museum, the Orange County Airport Lion Air Museum. That's what you want to see.
All right. And the last item, Michelle, what's that?
Mm-hmm. Well, we're into August now. Saturday, August 2nd, 2025 is when they're going to do Subi Fest this year. And if you're going to go out, just a couple of big changes to be aware of. It's not going to start in the morning. Usually these things start in the morning. It's going to start at 2:00 in the afternoon and go till 9:00 in the evening. First time they're going to try this. See how people like it. Apparently when they've done this in the morning and gone till like 2 or 3 o'clock, to get trophies and
so
forth. It's 100 degrees by then. Yeah. So yeah. I guess they're going to try something different. And also, they usually held it at Irwindale. So can't do that anymore. So now it's at Santa Anita Racetrack in Arcadia. And if you would like to participate, I don't have any information at all on registration. I don't have any information.
Just Google Subi Fest.
Yeah, just Google Subi Fest or go to their
SUBIEFEST.
Yeah, man. Or go to their Facebook page and they'll hook you up with registration if you want to show your car or if you have to pay admission to get in. Honestly, I think you do have to pay to spectate, but I don't know how much that is.
I went to it a few years ago, and I think I even paid to get in. I don't remember what it was, but I don't want to misquote a number here. But it is at Santa Anita Racetrack, the one where they race the horses in Arcadia. So August 2nd, new time, 2 p.m. to 9 p.m. Mm-hmm. You know, you could get there later and not die of heat exhaustion.
Exactly. And I'm thinking seven stock, we're going to follow suit here, and we'll probably end up having seven stock at Santa Anita Racetrack. Because whatever Subi Fest is, we kind of do our thing 3 months later every year.
Okay. Yeah. All right. All right. Thank you, Michelle. All right. It's time for the news section. Somebody do that. No, don't do that. That's irritating. People are turning their radio knobs. Don't turn your radio knob. This is the news. This is something interesting. I'll start out with this thing that I found from a source called financebuzz.com. Never heard of them. Cannot vouch for them. But it's interesting. They did a survey, and the key findings of the survey are basically that the average modern person can't do anything to fix their car. Now, I know when Carl and I were young, so we had to smelt our own aluminum, didn't we, Carl? We had to mine the iron ore and add the carbon to make the steel, and then we had to go to the other mine and get the aluminum, and it was just, we did it all ourselves, as I recall.
Going uphill and in the rain. And
Well, that was, of course, after we drilled and found a source of oil that we could refine into gasoline to put in the car. But
we did that all ourselves. Well, it turns out that the majority of drivers, most of them could recognize when the check engine light came on. That was 77%.
No. Back that up. No, people do not know what that means.
Well, they could see it on the dash.
But they don't know what it means. They will drive around. Literally, someone did a study on that, too. People will drive around, and they ask, what's the average amount of time you look at that thing and have no idea what it is and ignore it, and it was like 30 days.
Okay. So there's that. But 80% say they can refill air in tires themselves. What does that mean, refill? Is that like that you take out the old air and put it in? This is poorly written. Come on, financebuzz.com. And 78% say they know how to replace wiper fluid. You know, that's probably true across the country because back east, you have to add that stuff when it's snowing and miserable. But when it comes to anything more complex than that, 48% of drivers say they can change a tire without assistance. So clap, clap, clap for them.
That's better than I really thought.
I was surprised. I mean, they say that. Maybe, you know, do they know like where the jack goes and what the lifting point is?
What a jack is?
Yeah,
exactly.
And we no longer have bumper jacks like Carl and I had when we
Can't do that anymore.
Lifting points now, and you have to look at the manual and find out where the lifting point is, because if not, that little jack that comes with your car is going to go through the floor of your car or through the door or something. So,
How about changing wiper blades? That's always a fun one.
Let's see. Hang on. 48% say they can change the tire. 36% say they can perform an oil change.
I don't believe it.
No, that's, you're not going to, and you're going to put the right oil back in? I don't know. Roughly 70% feel highly confident they know what their monthly auto premium costs are. So, it just goes on. They have all kinds of.
What?
27% can change their spark plugs, they say.
Oh, wow.
Let's see. Change the engine oil, air filters, 45%. To have a replace the car battery, 47%.
I don't think that.
Jump start a car without blowing it up, 62% say they can.
Without blowing it up is the key,
right?
To that,
I was just gonna say, to me, this sounds more like the percentages that these people, if they're asked, they'd be willing to give it a try. That's where it sounds like. I'd try that if I had to. Sure.
I'm guessing they didn't do any follow up at all. Like, I can rebuild the transmission. Okay, well, we have a hydromatic here. Why don't you go at it?
What?
Anyway, okay, that's interesting stuff from financebuzz.com, a source we know nothing about, and I'm just passing it on. Bad journalism here, but
yeah, and obviously they're not car people who wrote. No. But thank you for that interesting news item, Mark.
Yes, you're welcome.
Gave us a lot to talk about.
It took 4 minutes. All right.
Yeah.
Now, for real news, we have a real lawyer talking about real laws. Michelle, take it away.
Oh, yes. Well, California. All right. So you've probably seen on social media a lot of things saying stuff like California and 13 other states now have a no touch your cell phone law. That is not true. This has been the law in California since 2011. So it's not brand new.
I didn't know that.
What is brand new? Yeah. Yeah. You were not supposed to be touching your phone in California while you're driving since 2011.
Okay.
Yeah, good thing I already was never doing that. Thank God I stopped doing that a long time ago.
And that means you can't look at it while you're at a stoplight. If a cop sees you doing that, they can pull you over. They don't need to have any other reason in the universe to pull you over. If they see you picking your phone up and looking at it,
what if it's not a phone? Late. What if you're picking up a pack of cigarettes and looking at it? You're reading Pall Mall or something.
Oh,
they have to prove that it was a phone that was in your hand? See, I'm thinking of defenses already, Michelle.
Yes, yeah. You are. Now,
or a bottle of water. You know, you picked up a bottle of water and you were curious, where was this actually
from? Is this really from Australia? Or yeah.
Yes.
No, if the police officers are, you know, their word is enough that they saw you with a phone and you were touching it while you were at the wheel of a car. And like I say, it doesn't matter if you're at a stoplight or driving or whatever. You're not supposed to be having that in your hand. Now, the law has always required that if you're going to use a cell phone for navigation or, you know, your Apple CarPlay or whatever, that has to be mounted. Then you can do your swiping, but you're only allowed one swipe with one finger. So if the cop sees you with it on your dashboard or your windshield mount and you're swiping do a couple times, woo, that's a violation. So what is going on here in California? That has always been the law, but there was a gentleman who got pulled over for it. And he challenged the law because he was holding it and looking at it. He wasn't touching it to swipe. All right. So he had a good case. He had a great defense.
Yep.
And it went all the way up to the Court of Appeal. And they said, nope, sorry. The law is very clear. You're not supposed to hold and swipe. But holding alone is enough to be pulled over. So that's what was on hold for a while, was the holding provision. So boys and girls, mount it. Then you can swipe and you get one free swipe to, clear it or update your map or change your channel or change your volume or whatever you need to do. But you get one free swipe. So that's how that is panning out. And the thing is, the court ruling reversing the conviction went back up and then it went down. And so he ended up being convicted. But that was June 5th. So that's why we started getting all this new press on it.
Okay.
The decision came down June 5th.
Okay. But it looks like that the law
that clears it up.
That looks like the law you spoke of has been on the books since 2011. Vehicle code section 231.23.5, section A, effective 7/1/2011. So you are right, Michelle. It's been there a long time.
Yeah, there you go. So phones must be mounted. So long as the device is mounted, you can have your single tap or swipe. Voice commands are okay for calls, texts, or navigation. Those you always get a free pass on. Don't worry about that. You can talk to Siri. You can tell where to, tell it where to send you. And also, if you have to hold it and do a 911 call, that's permissible.
That's generous. Thank you, State of California.
Yeah.
So all you got to do is come up with an emergency from the time the cops lights come on until he gets you pulled over and be like, yeah, I was having a heart attack and I had to call 911.
So just start calling 911 the second you figure out that you're getting busted.
Right. That is the car show does not recommend doing that. That was clearly injected for humorous purposes. Do not call 911 unless you have a real emergency. Instead, call KPFK and donate some money. We'll get you that.
Because we have a new transmitter we need. We need a new transmitter on Mount Wilson.
We do. We'll talk to you about that, I guess, in a week.
Next week.
Okay. Anyway, we're getting ahead of ourselves. What else is going on in the legal world of jurisprudence, Michelle?
Well, just in case any of you out there like to go check out sideshows, street takeovers, or street races, guess what? California has increased the penalties starting July 1st for people who are drivers that are involved in these things. You not only get arrested, your car gets impounded, and you can go straight to jail.
Wow.
And then when you're sentenced for it, you can get up to 6 months in jail.
Wow.
So there you go. And the just fines are increased. There. No, no. I was talking just first about the drivers. I'll get to those spectators in a second. So drivers, impound, you're going to get a fine. The fine used to be $500, but as of July 1st, it's now $1,000. So, you know, you really better watch your P's and Q's if you are the driver. Now, also, for those people who are organizing these things on Facebook or other social media, the cops know about you. And the new provisions give cops license to go check out social media, take down posts. They can call up Facebook or any other social media, Snapchat, tell them to take down the posts. That's new. And a third thing is for people who are involved as spectators, also, your car can get impounded and you can get arrested and you'll have to pay the big fines, which is new.
Now, I have come upon these just driving innocently. And, you know, the intersection's shut down. People are doing crazy donuts. And so just being backed up in the traffic, I cannot be surely not a person of my esteem and whatever, blah, blah. I cannot get a ticket for that, can I, if you just accidentally caught up in it?
No. All right.
Well, that's exactly what I was thinking is they're saying, well, spectators, well, if I'm driving down the street, suddenly it's blocked and there's, you know, an Integra, modified Integra and Mitsubishi Eclipse racing each other and they go racing by and I dare turn my head as they go by while I'm stuck behind the bunch of, and then the cops show up and say, you were watching that. You're going to jail.
Yes.
Wait a second.
Because you're sitting during your Camry, right? And
yeah. or maybe my Dodge Demon or Porsche 911 Turbo S. But still, I was just driving through. Why are you arresting me too?
Right.
I don't know. If you were in a Dodge Demon, I think they should ticket you, I think.
I was just going to say, they can pull you over just for driving that car.
Yeah.
Driving that thing.
No, I would just back up and get out of there. But also, there's a new thing that allow the cops to enforce these. They can enforce by dispersing or whatever. It used to just be on the street. Now they can go and do this on highways because guess what? As soon as these street takeovers, they found out that being actually on a surface street was bad because they would get busted. Now they're on the freeways, right? And that's a really big problem.
That is so bad.
This new law has expanded enforcement to highways and parking lots, not just your streets. So there's a lot to take in on that. But bottom line is, state of California is super sick of these types of events.
Right. They're dangerous. I mean, they just go, there's no control. I've been to street races and it's incredibly dangerous. And these street takeovers are even more so. So probably a good law. What do you think?
Yeah. Well, they had to beef it up. I mean, only $500 on the fine. That's nothing anymore. That's nothing. I think they should have made it higher, actually. $1,000. I think they should have made it like $5,000.
Wow.
All I know is that Dom and Letty, you know, they're just going to be bummed because they can't go do their street racing anymore. So,
yeah, well, you know, it's all about Familia. So the Fed will bail you out. Did you know, speaking of Dom and Letty, did you know there's going to be a new roller coaster coming next year at Universal Studios that is a Fast and Furious roller coaster? You're really? Here first, folks. Look forward to this. If you have nothing else to live for, hang on just long enough, Michelle.
Orlando or Hollywood?
Hollywood.
Ooh,
I think it's Hollywood. That's a good question. That is a good question. Right. I think it's Hollywood. So anyway, there you go.
They do have I went to Orlando last year and they had an amazing Fast and Furious ride and they had all the cars out in front.
They have the ride in Hollywood too. So, okay. I mean, they call it Hollywood. It's like Studio City or something,
Universal City.
Yeah. So you're sitting there in the tram and all this, you know, action goes by you in this tunnel with the lights.
Yeah.
and the screen showing the stuff. And then you get through all that, you know, you've got a Dom's reaching out as he's hanging on the helicopter. And, you know, everybody miraculously gets through these things. And at the end, Dom looks at you right in the eyeball and he says, now you're part of La Familia. And I really feel if it was a special moment for me.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that when the shark jumps up though and bites Dom's arm off?
That's liquor. Different rare.
It's a different Norman part Bates. Of the tour.
That's in Fast Norman and Bates. Furious 26.
Right. And then Norman Bates comes out and says, I hate Familia. I'll kill you all.
Yeah. Here's your dead body to prove it.
That Norman Bates guy on that tour is pretty good.
He is creepy.
He starts walking toward the tram, and the tram has to take off to escape him. But anyway,
we're freak out.
We are getting sidetracked.
But that's very exciting to look forward to. Yeah.
Let's go back to something even more exciting. Carl, gas prices. What's going on?
Well, it's certainly something that will get your or my pulse up when you think about them, but maybe not in a good way. As a lot of people probably heard some rumblings on July 1st, just this past week, we got a bump in our gas taxes because we weren't paying enough. Damn it. We need to pay higher gas taxes in this state because we're just lagging behind. I'm looking closer at the information. We already pay the highest gas taxes anywhere in the nation, and they went up again.
Yep.
Now, what you should know, because a lot of people, myself included, was like, what? Now they're going to be like 65 cents a gallon. You know, people thought they were going to go up 65 cents a gallon. No. They went up from 59.6 cents to 61.2 cents per gallon. So actually went up less than 2 cents per gallon, but they did go up and they've now crossed the 60 cent per gallon barrier and they're at 61.2. Mm-hmm. So you are going to pay a little more in gas taxes, a couple cents. And it's all done, of course, for low carbon fuel standards being in effect. And the California Department of Tax and Fee Administration has implemented this. And what they want to do, I'm looking at the Sacramento Bee right now. It's different than the Babylon Bee, in case you're wondering. It's the Sacramento Bee. But gasoline excise tax increased 59.6 to 61.2. The diesel excise tax went up from 45.4 to 46.6 for diesel fuel. And they're part of an automatically scheduled annual increase not necessarily every year, but part of an inflationary increase that was done in a bill back in 2017. So it's not new. Actually, yeah, and here it is. It's yearly inflation update built into the law. So that's why they went up. And if you're filling up a 15 gallon tank, just if you're curious, it's about 24 cents more per fill up that you're going to pay. And California drivers pay nearly 90 cents per gallon in total taxes, fees, and climate program surcharges, the highest gas taxes in the United States. But the only good news I'm seeing in this article that just came out was that on Monday, June 30th, the average price of a gallon of gas in California was $4.59, down from $4.80 a month earlier. So even with these fees going up, the actual price can still go down when things like the cost of oils goes down. So I think the other thing people are worried about, I know I am, is shutting down refineries that we're hearing about, because
two being shut down,
right, Mark? And those could have a much bigger impact on the price per gallon than this excise tax that we just had go up a couple of cents. So
Could I ask a question? How is it that California, we have oil reserves, we have under the ground, we are pumping oil out of the ground, we have refineries, we are kind of like our own little Venezuela here, and yet our gas prices are the highest in the country? You go to Nebraska, which doesn't have any oil underground and no refineries, and they pay a lot less. How is that? And it's not just the taxes, is it?
Well, I think you just said it. We are like our own Venezuela here, and not just in the fact that we have oil and can get it out. There's some policy elements that are similar to Venezuela, and that's why we're paying so many high taxes on the prices.
So it's just the taxes?
No, there's more.
No, Michelle, what's your take?
We have the most populous state in the country. It's supply and demand. We have a lot of people who drive. We're a car culture. We are far flung as far as LA is just spread far and wide, and you've got to drive to get places because the infrastructure for buses, trains, all that is horrific. When you've gone to other countries, you realize, wow, we're stuck in our cars.
Don't we have some like train that's just about to open? You know,
yeah, and it's right. Oh man,
spent $1 billion like 20 years ago. They started this $1 billion, multi-billion-dollar, tens of billion dollars investment, and a decade or two ago.
How much money has been wasted on that? Originally it was going to go LA to San Francisco, and that was it. And then the politicians said, no, I want it to go through, you know, Bakersfield and
Fresno
and Modesto. Places where no one goes.
And Merced. I mean, look, God bless those communities, but it makes absolutely no sense. And they are still pouring billions into that. I do not understand it.
I'm putting my money on the one, the express from LA to Vegas. I think that one's going to get done faster.
Why do we have a bullet train going to Vegas?
Well, it's private enterprise that's putting it together. So not the state.
Vegas, baby. Come on, Mark. Vegas, baby.
Come on, your favorite place.
There is no place worse in the world.
In fact, that's where you got sick, I bet.
I always get sick.
Me too. Every time I go to Vegas.
CES or SEMA or whatever.
You guys are
saying Vegas makes you sick, huh? That's not a very nice thing to say about us.
It's a petri dish.
It is. It's a petri dish. All right. We're not going to go down any of those. Michelle, take us
down now.
Take us to where we can get cheap gas.
So, yes, on the heels of Carl's story about the gas hikes aren't as horrible as we were kind of told by the big scary news media, you can still get a bargain at Costco on your gas. And I know a lot of people, and you probably do too, who only go to Costco to get their gas. Well, usually they're at the Costco, which is a problem because you have to wait in line and you have to dodge all the people with their shopping carts and everything to get to the gas station. However, Costco is opening one that's a standalone and it's going to be here in the Orange County area. Yay. It's going to be right near where you're at, Carl, in Mission Viejo. And you might know this place because it used to be a Bed Bath & Beyond store and they're refurbishing it. It's going to be at 25732 El Paseo in Mission Viejo.
How do you turn a Bed Bath and Beelzebub into a gas station? I don't understand. You mean they bulldoze the building and that's where they're putting it? That doesn't make any sense to me.
No, they're just refurbishing it.
It doesn't make any sense. You drive into the building to get gas? I'm not.
No, you have to have your place where the Costco employees are sitting because they don't. You know, you serve your own yourself, but they have to have people monitoring it.
Well, Michelle, you can go there and bring us back a report. That'll be great.
I actually just looked up where it is, and it is kind of in a bizarre place. It's El Paseo, which is like this weird little road that's kind of stuck off between the 5 freeway and another road called Cabot. And it's not easy to get. It's kind of a big, long dead end. And there's a Best Buy down there, and there's a Dairy Queen and a Petco. And there used to be a Bed Bath and Beyond. So I've never thought of it as a very convenient place to go to any of those places because you got to kind of like work your way down there. And then, like I said, at the end of the road, it's just a big dead end. And then you got to work your way back out. But people will probably do that for cheap gas. And that's maybe a good idea because, as you've noted, you go to Costco, there's like these huge lines. It takes forever. If this place has got 40 pumps, as it's saying they're going to have, and they're in this kind of off the beaten path location, probably if you've got a Costco membership, freely drive in and out and get your gas without much hassle.
Yeah. And it's next to a Dairy Queen Grill and Chill. So.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Because
and a Krispy Kreme.
Oh,
so you can fill up your car and you can fill up yourself and all the good things that Earth can offer you. Refined oil and... Well, refined oil. It's different kind of refined oil.
Yes.
Krispy Kreme is
there. Speaking of refinement, we're over time again. It's just so easy to talk about these topics. Carl drove a very interesting car. Carl, what was it?
Yeah. Speaking of refined and oil and vintage and all the things that we love here at the car show, there is a company called Revology Cars based out of Orlando, Florida. It was started by a gentleman named Tom Scarpello. I know him. I've known him for over 20 years because he used to be one of the head guys at the Special Vehicles Team, or SVT, as Ford fans will know, at Ford in Detroit. And he also was an enthusiast who liked vintage, as in first gen 64 through 65 through 69, 70 Mustangs. And he had his own and he was trying to build it up, but he saw how hard it was to take what was an archaic starting point and try to make it modern with updated suspension and brakes, which a lot of people have been doing for a couple decades, several decades. So he started Revology Cars to make these cars from scratch. He doesn't pull Mustangs out of junkyards. He builds floor pans and body panels and everything else to assemble a brand new Mustang from scratch, a brand new 66, 68, 70 Mustang from scratch. And that's what Revology Cars can do. And last fall, I drove one. It was a 68 black Mustang 2+2 fastback. Looked a lot like the car from Bullet, but black instead of Hiron green, and with the same torque thrust wheels. And it was such a cool looking car. And I got to tell you, I've driven a lot of cars that cause a stir, and this car caused a stir and like universal love stir. It's not like you've got to have an exotic car and you get it, everyone reacts, but you get a lot of people who don't react very positively to the exotic cars. Everyone was in love with this black 68 Mustang as soon as they saw it. But the incredible thing isn't how cool the styling looks, and it's very cool. It's how they drive, and you know, four-wheel disc brakes and upgraded suspension, upgraded interior. The interiors in these things are beautiful. The quality of the seat material, the comfort of the seats. They've all got a square touchscreen, so that with Apple CarPlay and Android Auto, but yet all the gauge cluster and even the climate controls look vintage, but they, of course, it blows out cold air. And even the gauge cluster has some digital components in it that you can check, like tire pressure and stuff like you could in a modern car. So he's really come up with this incredible balance between what looks like an original era first gen Mustang from the 60s and drives like a far more advanced, capable car. And so I knew that after last fall, but just a few months ago, I finally got the video and story done, but back in April, I drove one of his cars at a track facility at a place called Circuit Florida near Orlando. And when you're on a track, of course, you don't have to hold back at all. You can really exercise the car's capabilities. And the last one I drove was the quote-unquote base model that has 460 horsepower, 5-liter Coyote engine, or the upgraded one that I drove at the track is the 710 horsepower, 5-liter nice. Coyote supercharged engine. Yeah. So, and these cars still don't weigh very much. You know, all the cars in today's world, in my opinion, almost all the cars are just fat and heavy, but cars from the 60s were like half the weight. They were like 3,000 to 4,000 pounds. The heavy cars were 4,000 pounds back then, and most of them were like 3,000 to 3,500. And when you have that kind of weight with a 710 horsepower engine, well, car drivers tested one of these things. 0 to 60 was 3.7 seconds, and the quarter mile was 11.7 seconds at 124 miles an hour. One of these Revology 710 horsepower. So yeah, so super fast, super cool sounding. And so I just posted the video just a couple of days ago. It's on my YouTube channel at Carl Brower Cars on YouTube. It's also on a Forbes story. The video is embedded if you just want to go to the Forbes story on the Revology 68 Cobra Jet, fastback Cobra Jet. And the car, it was painted what's called performance red. It's the same color they painted the 2000 Mustang Cobra R, which they only made, I believe, 300 of those. And they had a big wing, but it's a great color. It looks so fabulous on video and in the photos that are in the story and in the video. The wow. sound is amazing, but truly the driving dynamics, driving it. I mean, I was hitting over 100 miles an hour on the straightaways at Circuit Florida, which is not, the straightaways aren't that long. It's a 1.7 mile track. I think it's about to expand to 2.5. It doesn't have super long straightaways, and I was still getting up to 100 miles an hour, and I was driving super conservative. These cars are not inexpensive. The car I drove bases at $322,000. And depending on how you option it, you could easily get it to closer to four. So they're not inexpensive, but Tom has got a backlog. He's built 300 of these things, and he's got a backlog of orders in the queue. Wealthy guys who want to drive around what looks like an original Mustang and drives far, far better. There's plenty of people who want one.
Now, Carl, I was lucky enough to drive, I think, the green car that you had earlier, and it had, of course, the 5-liter TI VCT dual overhead cam V8 engine, 460 horsepower, 420 pound-feet of torque. And I agree, it is much safer, much better than the original. But people, I think, have to understand, it's not at all anything like a modern car. It's like the best original Mustang you ever had, but it's not like an AMG GT or something where the steering is absolutely precise and the brakes are just right on. And there's, you know, cornering is a dream. It's there. It is much better than the original, like you say, but it is not really the bee's knees. But I will agree with you that everybody loved that thing. So if you want to be adored, you know, either what, I don't know, buy this car for $300,000, everybody will love you.
And there were two here. There was the dark green one, which looks like the Bolt Mustang that you had, and then there was the black one that I had. They both were beautiful. And, you know, I mean, the one thing I would add though is it is rack and pinion steering, which they never had originally. So it's got absolutely better steering feel. It's funny. I think, you know, what would really be a good way to test those cars, Mark, is go get like the best all original 60s Mustang and drive it back to back with this. And I think what you're going to say is, okay, the best you could ever make a 60s Mustang, this thing trounces it in every single way. Refinement.
Yes, I agree.
And, you know, and he's done all this engineering too, like the door hinges and the latches and all this stuff, all these things, the glass, he uses some kind of updated glass and stuff in the windshield area for more quietness and also safer. If you crash or roll, the thing bounces out in one piece like it's supposed to on modern cars. So there, it's not just that he's using more. It's not like he went and got a junkyard car or even built a car from scratch and put on some four-wheel disc brakes and a little better suspension. There's engineering that's original that Revology Cars has done to huge components, huge elements of this car, the way the doors shut and the doors don't drop. You know, after a couple of years, the doors, you open them and they fall a little bit because those hinges are getting worn out, like all original muscle cars with those heavy doors did. There's a lot of real refinement and improvement to these things. It's not going to compete with a modern 911 or a Cayman or an AMG car. It's better by a substantial degree than the best 60s Mustang could have ever been because of the engineering.
Michelle, your thoughts.
Where's his shop?
It's right outside Orlando. I think it's Orlando mailing address and stuff. So he was located close to the track. Fittingly or conveniently, Circuit Florida, which is amazing new facility with condos going up and all, it's relatively new and there's, you know, they're building more condos if someone in that area wants to buy one. Is run by, I believe his first name was Paul, but another Scarpello, Tom's brother, runs Circuit Florida. So you got a guy building really capable advanced performance cars, and you got a guy running a track where they're fun to drive without any worries about traffic, cross traffic, and bad drivers.
It's family business, is what you say.
Yes, right. You know, it's the talk about you're back to the familia.
It'd be a shame if your Camaro met with an accident. All right, we're going to be sued by a lot of people. I apologize, and there will be further apologies coming later on in the show. Right now,
Carl, like very interesting
to tell you. Yeah, that
check out the video. Seriously, I've got great track footage. This thing going 100 miles an hour on the straightaways. Check out the video. It looks fabulous. It sounds, the audio's there. It sounds fabulous. You'll enjoy it.
On Carl Brower Cars.
Carl Brower Cars. And now to get into an electric car, Carl hates electric cars, so I'm only doing this solely to torture Carl.
I'm plugging my ears. Keep going.
Right now on the driveway a Cadillac Optiq, which is the entry point to Cadillac's line of all electric SUVs. It is the smallest. It is, I don't know, I think the design is really nice. People have told me, unsolicited, that they liked the way it looked. This thing starts at $55,885, and for that, you get a dual-motor all-wheel drive making 300 horsepower, sport-tuned suspension, and get this, this might be the best feature about this car that I remember. It has a 19 speaker AKG studio multi-dimensional sound experience. Who has ever had a sound experience?
I've had them.
I've had a few unsound experiences, but I don't think I've ever had a sound experience.
Well, actually, I went to the one of the Cadillac launches up in Hollywood, and they had the AKG people there. In and they built a sound studio. Did you go to that launch? It was like,
well, what they did, they had this up in the Bay Area, and we went to Dolby headquarters and we sat in the theater and they played it. And you know, it's, we have said this recently, people are really, when they're choosing which car to buy, audio systems seem to be the differentiator now, because everybody has Google whatever and Apple this and whatever that. But now it's the sound quality and this stuff. My, you know, I'm not an audiophile per se, my way of testing sound quality is if you crank it up really loud and it doesn't fall apart, the sound still sounds distinct and every note is good. I think to me that that is good sound. That must be multidimensional. But it's like you're in the front row at Pink Floyd, 1978, man, you know. It's anyway, 85 kilowatt hour battery is good for 302 miles of range. When I plugged it in last night and got in it today to drive it, it had an indicated 308 miles of range. This is the Cadillac Optiq, $55,885 starting price. And of course, you know, from there you can go on up in the Cadillac, the Escalade IQ and any number of other Cadillacs that, you know, they're still on the electric car thing. Cadillac is, so good for them, I say. Carl says no. Carl says boo, but I say yes. And I don't know, if I was in the market for a crossover utility vehicle in this class that was electric, I would get it.
You'd buy a Kia EV6. Awesome. That's a good idea.
Mm-hmm. Kia EV6? It doesn't have 19 speakers.
Yeah.
And AKG studio audio.
Yeah. I think it has longer range though. So
I will say that I have here on my desk an AKG microphone that stopped working a few weeks ago. So I don't know what that means.
Okay. Well, that's not the one they use in, that's not the equipment in the Optiq.
Okay.
Right.
We have 2.5 minutes to go. If nobody else has anything to review, I'm going to quickly say the Subaru WRX TS is the other thing that I've been driving lately. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I took it up to Newcomb's for the Good Vibrations Breakfast Club last Friday morning, and nobody really thought much about it because there's so many cool cars up there. It just sort of snuck in. So it's a stealth vehicle. You can sneak around and you can be having a good time driving this thing. The remember the WRX STI, the thing with a huge wing and 300 horsepower and everything, that is gone. We don't know if it's coming back. Subaru is being vague about whether there will be a new STI. Possibly it will be a hybrid, but we don't know. So for right now, if you want to get a performance WRX, you're going to want to get the TS model. Michelle?
Was it a stick?
Yes, it was. It was a 6-speed manual.
Yes.
It was a little bit notchy, but, you know, you could find the gears, no problem. It went into gear. I've never gotten comfortable. We have like 1 minute left. I've never gotten comfortable with the take-up and engagement of the clutches on performance Subarus. There was, I think the last time we tried to test a WRX STI, it literally took me all day out there, and it's a testament to the friction plates in that clutch that the thing lasted that long. It took all day and a call to Josh Jaco to figure out how to launch that thing. But anyway, otherwise, it is great. We have 30 seconds to go here. I want to thank my colleagues, Carl Brower, Michelle Spencer. Michelle, what's our webpage?
We are The Car Show on KPFK 90.7 FM on Facebook.
Facebook page. So go check that out. Click like and, you know, subscribe.
Follow.
Or whatever.
Follow.
Follow. Okay. Carl, what is your site?
Carl Brower Cars, and that's K-A-R-L and then B-R-A-U-E-R. Carl Brower Cars on YouTube.
Stick around for Rhapsody in Black music that sounds great on your car audio, hosted by Jim Dawson, Ray Regalado, and I am Mark Vaughn from AutoWeek.com, saying so long, and thanks for all the fish.
Hi, Diane here. I'm the co-host of Something's Happening at Midnight on Monday through Thursday, midnight to 6 a.m., with a message from our interim general manager, Maggie DePeek. So you may have noticed some outages in our signal lately, and the reason is our transmitter is really urgently in need of some repairs. Since we're listener-sponsored, we're coming to you. The good news is a generous donor has already donated $25,000, and that will be matched by the rest of us for a total of $50,000. And then our chief engineer, Stu Landau, and longtime KPFK ally and a top radio engineer, Bert Wiener, they'll take care of the rest. We only have until July 31st, so please call that number, 5735 option 2 or kpfk.org and click the Fix the Signal banner. Every dollar counts. Thank you in advance for your generosity, keeping us strong and on the air. Let's fix the signal together.